I want to talk to you guys tonight about illusion. You like that? Women of God up there. That's just awesome. The name of my message tonight is The Death of an Illusion. And Webster's defines illusion as this: the state or fact of being misled or deceived. The state or fact of being misled or deceived. That's what it means, the word illusion. You know, when I was a kid, we got two channels on the TV. And if there was a blizzard out, this is no joke, we got PBS too. And so we were all stoked because we got PBS. We got to watch old people movies. Like, I think the Flintstones were on PBS at that time, so that was always a treat. And I remember there was this guy, his name was David Copperfield. And I remember once a year David Copperfield would be on, and he did the most incredible things. Like, one time I saw him take this guy's tie from the audience, and he put it on this little table, and it just started moving around, and like, it was floating, and this guy came out of the audience, he's all like, touching it, and like, couldn't find any strings. It was just blew my mind, right? And so I always thought illusion was kind of cool. I still do. But I never really gave much time to it, so I'm gonna show you the only magic trick I know tonight. Okay? So this is a GM bandana. Anybody recognize this? Yeah. Alright, so I want you to take a look at that for me. Make sure there's no pockets or anything else like this. And this is one of those things you put in the soda machine. It's a normal quarter. Take a look at that. He's taking my quarter. Nice. There's water rolling down the aisle. Praise the Lord. Alright, so I rolled up my sleeves so you don't think I'm putting it up my sleeves. You just have to trust me that's not going in my watch. I want you to see this. Okay. Here's the quarter, right? See it under here. All right. And Amanda's going to grab a hold of this. And so my neighbor, just grab the quarter. Tell everybody it's in there. Feel it? All right. Okay. And so my neighbor showed me this trick. And so he would do this and it's right there. Got it? All right. He would do this trick. And he would let my dad touch it, and then he'd let his wife touch it, and then he'd let me touch it. And then he would go up, and he would just do this crazy thing, and he would go like this. You ready? Ready for this? Okay. One, two, three. And the quarter was gone.
I don't know what to do.
Not bad, not bad, huh? All right. And so, as a kid, I was like, no! What just happened? It just blew my mind, right? And so then he would go like this, and he would do the same thing. He would go and he would you know,
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. What do I don't know.
Just reach out. Just reach up in there. You feel my fingers? No quarter, right?
Yeah.
All right. No quarter. No quarter. All right. Feel that? Okay. You don't believe me, do you? All right. No quarter. No quarter. You guys are just. And so he would show me this. He would show like all of. It was just crazy. He'd show me all these things. And then he would go like this again, and there would be a quarter in there. And so that's the only illusion trick I know. And if you know what happened, then just don't tell anybody. Pretend you're amazed. Praise the Lord. You know, and we live in this culture of illusion. It's incredible. Like, we go to this movie, and we're you know, for an hour and a half, we get to kind of like be somebody else. You know, it's like Spider-Man's going all crazy through the streets. Have you guys seen Spider-Man 3? Yeah, it was pretty awesome. You know, and it's just crazy because you're watching all this stuff going on and you're kind of like in it, you know what I'm saying? And then like, you know, if you go to New York, none of those buildings got blown up by Venom and there's no like crazy black web hanging up between these three buildings. It's all an illusion. It's totally fake. There's nothing there. And then you watch, you know, if you're a lady, you watch the romance and there's the perfect guy and the perfect girl. And they have the perfect love. And it's totally an illusion because these two actors have the most screwed up lives in the whole world. They've been divorced 5 times. Their kids are smoking crack. It's just an illusion. You know, and then we watch this movie about this Mexican wrestler. And we think for an hour that we can be el luchador, esqueleto, or whatever, you know. And so we're like, I want to be Nacho. But it's totally an illusion. Nacho Libre. I love Nacho Libre. That's right. Praise the Lord. And then we have video games, right? And so I'm sitting my fat butt on my couch, and I'm pretending I'm Sean Alexander, and I'm totally juking people and going, I'm just like jumping in the end zone. I'm like, yeah, where you at? And I got all these feelings like I'm really doing it, but I'm not. It's just an illusion. Right? And we got Guitar Hero, and I pretend I'm Steve Hanks. I'm all like, you know, and it's just, I totally don't have any skills. And we're out there with DDR, you know, and you know, you can pretend you're a 14-year-old girl in a pink bunny suit. And somebody just got said, if you're a guy, that is just wrong. That's just wrong. That's the wrong kind of illusion, man. You see what I'm saying? There's all this illusion around us. It's just, we have a culture full of it. And I'm not really here to talk about that kind of illusion. Sometimes that kind of illusion can lead to what I'm talking to, but it's not the deal. I want to talk about what happens when we live for an illusion. What happens when we live for an illusion? Now, on our two channels that we got faithfully on Saturday mornings, I got to watch the Bugs and Tweety show. Love Bugs and Tweety. And ever so often, you would have Bugs Bunny or one of the other characters, and they'd be in this desert, right? And you guys know what I'm talking about. And they're like, water, water, and they're just dragging. And then they would look up on the horizon. What would they see? The oasis. The place of life-giving water and cool shade. And what was it? It was a mirage. It was an illusion. And so they get there. They got up all this strength just to make it that extra mile, and there's nothing there. It's an illusion. Interesting. So what's so fascinating about an illusion is it has the ability to draw you and deceive you, but in the end, there's nothing that's really there, is there? When we're in a desert place in our Christian life, we're prone to illusion. You see, because we're standing here in this place, And we're in need of God's presence. We need His joy. We need His peace. We need His Spirit to fill us. We need all these things from Him. And we're in the desert. And so we're standing here and we're thinking, okay, I know if I go this way, I can find God, but man, you know, I gotta get right with that person and I gotta repent. Oh man, I totally blew it. And they start looking around because there's gotta be an easier way. We look over and what do we see? What's that? Is that a party? Oh man, check it out. A little Jack and Coke, a little beer. Man, that sounds like peace to me. Look at them. Can you guys see them? They're having so much fun. That looks like joy. And so what do? Start walking towards this illusion. And in the morning, we're kissing the porcelain queen. And if you're not kissing the porcelain queen, you got a little delayed reaction from Aubrey. Praise the Lord. Time release joke. And if you're not throwing up the next morning, you're left with no joy that lasts, no peace, nothing. It was an illusion. And we want a lasting relationship. This relationship that fulfills and fills us. And we look this way and we're like, whoa! You mean I gotta deal with all this junk in my life? You mean God's not gonna give me this beautiful woman of God unless I actually like get my screwed up self right? And so we look and we're standing in the desert and we look over here and, oh, she'll do. He'll do. And then we go over here and we experience all the euphoria of that relationship. We experience the wonderful pleasures of sex and all these other things. And in the morning, I'm making waffles. In the morning, the moment's gone. And we're left holding the bag of bondage for the rest of our life until Jesus touches us. We're left with bitterness. We're left with rejection. The list goes on and on and on. So we bought into an illusion. We do it in relationships all the time. God says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. The Bible talks about us getting things right. So we see that we need to get right in this relationship. But man, you know, I'm hurt, and so I look at this mirage over here, and it says, just blow up. Just all that emotion, just let it come out. And so you rip into your parents, and you yell at them, and you cuss at them, and you do all these things that, oh, it feels good. And you hurt the relationship. You hurt your parents, you hurt your friend. Because you bought into the lie. If you're the other kind of person, you just stuff it, and you just think, give them a couple days. Just walk away, you don't deal with it. You hurt yourself. You hurt them. It's amazing how many times we buy into the lie. Now, in the desert is not the only place where we buy into the illusion, is it? Sometimes when things are going really well, we buy into the illusion. In fact, if you turn with your Bibles, go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. I want to show you where this whole illusion thing started. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "Now the snake was the most cunning animal that the Lord God had made. The snake asked the woman, 'Did God really tell you not to eat the fruit from any tree in the garden?' 'Oh, we may eat any fruit from the tree in the garden,' the woman answered, 'except the tree in the middle of it. God told us not to eat the fruit of that tree or even touch it, because we'll die.' The snake replied, 'That's not true. You will not die. God said that because you know, he knows that when you eat it, you will be like God and you'll know what is good and what is bad.' The woman saw how beautiful the tree was." Oh my. What a shiny, isn't it? Just shimmers. "And how good its fruit would be to eat." I said, "That tastes like that fruit that we're going to sell." Just juicy, so good. Praise God. And then it says, "She thought how wonderful it would be to become wise. She took some of the fruit and ate it." 1 John 2:15. John talks about this. There's three different illusions that we fall into. This is what it says. "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away." It's an illusion. "And the lusts of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." The lust of the flesh is counterfeit fulfillment. She saw that it was good to eat. This body was created for God's pleasure. This body was created to experience God's pleasure. In marriage, I experience wonderful pleasure with my wife when I'm sitting on the couch snuggling with her. And when I wake up in the morning, I don't have any guilt, I don't have any shame, because it's what God designed. It's good. But the lust of the flesh is an illusion. It causes you to chase after pleasure to try to fulfill this God-given spot. The lust of the eyes is counterfeit vision. She said it was beautiful to behold. How many of you guys have ever been fishing? Yeah, we're in Alaska. All right. You know, sometimes we use like fish for bait and we use like, you know, real stuff. But how many of you guys have fished with something like one of those spoons? You know what I'm talking about? It just blows my mind. Every time I think about it, you have this thing, it's like red and white on one side and silver on the other, and it's got this big old nasty hook. And so I'm thinking, are fish just stupid? I mean, obviously they have to be. But, you know, they see this thing flashing by, and it's like, what does that look like? It doesn't look like a fish. It looks like a piece of metal going through the water. But you know what? They see it. They see it shimmer, and they grab it, and they're hooked. False vision. We see something. It looks good. We bite. And the pride of life, counterfeit achievement. I don't think there's anything wrong with the Olympics or anything like that, but I'll watch the Olympics, I'll watch somebody get a gold medal, and a week later I'll watch them on their news, and they're like, "I lived my whole life for this! I mean, I trained," and you know, just like, this is the most exciting thing, and I'm thinking, you are the most pathetic individual I've ever met. I mean, think about it. They got this little piece of bling, that's worth like $50. It's not even real gold anymore. It's like fake gold. Seriously. They live their whole life for this moment. What is that all about? Now, God can use things like that to give you a platform to go on. And a lot of Olympic athletes, that's not the ultimate point in their whole life. Some it is. They live their life for that illusion. They stand on the pedestal, they get a couple pictures taken, and next year nobody remembers their name. False achievement. I want to read this scripture. We want to start talking about how to get free from the illusion. James chapter 1, verse 13. You guys still alive out there?
Yeah.
Alright. Somebody being blessed?
Yeah.
Alright. James chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 13. "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God.' For God cannot tempt, cannot be tempted with evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone." Somebody needs to hear that. "But each one," somebody say each one. Each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is fully grown, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. The death of an illusion. There's only one way to kill illusion in your life. That's the cross. It's to kill your desires. Think about this. If you saw the illusion, and you saw the end result of the illusion, you wouldn't go there. If you looked and you saw, hey, I'm going to sleep with that person, I'm going to get AIDS. Praise the Lord, I'm going to do it anyway. No! I mean, that's just stupid, right? But that's not how the devil works. My illusions are not your illusions. My desires are not always your desires. And this is where Satan comes to us. When our desires are conceived, we bring forth sin. And so we're here, and we have a place of desire. We're standing in the desert, we're standing in the garden, and we look over here, and that oasis comes, and it's a desire. And we step this way, and we step again, and spiritually we die. Desires. If we die to looking for the easy way, we start to die to desires. This is amazing, because this even worked with Jesus. Remember when Satan came and tempted him? He comes in the desert and he says, see that stone? Turn it into bread. What did he know? He knew that the flesh of Jesus Christ had it not eaten for 40 days. And so he lays out this mirage, this illusion. He says, see that? That's sustenance. Take it. And Jesus looks and he sees, you know what? If I make this into bread and eat it, it's going to come into me, it's going to fill me up, and tomorrow I'm going to be hungry again. It's just an illusion. So he turns to Satan, he says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Jesus looks, he sees the easy way, he sees the image, the mirage, and he turns, and he steps towards the Father. And then again Satan comes, and he says, see all the kingdoms of the world that are under my control. He wasn't lying. See all these kingdoms. Bow down to me. I'll give them to you. What was he offering? He was offering Jesus all the kingdoms. The thing that he came to earth for was to turn the kingdoms of this world into the kingdoms of Christ and his God, the Bible says. You know what Satan was offering? He is offering his mission without the cross. Oh, somebody. You get that? He was offering fulfillment of Jesus' whole life without going through the cross. Jesus said, it is written, shall worship the Lord your God. He saw the illusion. He saw in the distance everything his life was there for. And he decided not to take the easy way. This is what Paul says. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live for the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This is what Paul's saying. He's standing in this place in his life. And he sees the illusion. He sees the mirage. He says, my desire has died. The illusion lost its power. And he turns and he sees the cross. And he sees Jesus who loved me and gave himself for me. And when you're in that place and you see the mirage and you look over here, you don't see the oasis of God. Because you need to repent, you need to forgive, you need to get things right. But as soon as you step across that, you're in the oasis of God. You couldn't see it and now you're walking in it. Because if you can die to your desires, you can die to your illusions. Hebrews 11, it's a couple pages back. So good. It talks about Noah and Abraham and Enoch and Sarah and all these men and women of faith, men and women of God. It says this in verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, they were assured of them. They embraced them and they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare clearly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they have called to mind the country from which they had come, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. That's awesome. They stepped out. And they saw this world for what it is. And don't get me wrong, sin's not an illusion. The choices you make are not an illusion. The illusion is the payment in the end. Satan offers you life and gives you death. Jesus offers you death and gives you life. Paul was just, he's totally my like role model in this whole thing. He was the man. This is what he says, Philippians 4:3. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. And he gives this whole list of credentials. Paul was trained up under the most amazing teacher in the whole nation of Israel. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. He was elite in every way. And then he goes on to say about this whole eliteness that this world offered him. But what things that were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I might gain Christ. All the things he lived for, all of his desires, you see, they're all trash because they're all an illusion. I want to ask you a question tonight. What's your illusion? What's your illusion? What takes you captive? What's that thing that you're about ready to get in your Bible takes you off in another direction? What's that thing in your life every time that you find yourself in between turning to the Lord and turning to this thing? What is it? If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus, you've never surrendered, your whole life is full of illusion. The Bible says that your righteousness, the best things that you can do are like filthy rags. And I don't want to be crude, but the word filthy rags actually means something that's way nasty. The best that you can do is nasty to God. It's nothing. If you haven't surrendered to Jesus Christ, there's nothing that you can bring him, nothing you can offer him, nothing it will fulfill, because your life is full of illusions. Your sin has entrapped you. You've looked to sin for life, and it's given you nothing but death. And Jesus Christ, tonight, is offering you salvation. And he's saying, you die, and I'll live in you. You don't die. For Christians, I'm going to read this. This is from the Message. This is 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. Have the worship team come up. It says this. Don't be naive. There are difficult times ahead. As the end approaches, people are going to be self-absorbed, money-hungry, self-promoting, stuck-up, profane, contemptuous with parents, crude, coarse, dog-eat-dog, unbending, slanderers, impulsively wild, savage, cynical, treacherous, ruthless, bloated windbags, addicted to lust, and allergic to God. They'll make a show of religion, but behind the scenes, they're animals. Stay clear of these people. It's interesting. They're addicted to lust and allergic to God. They'll make a show of religion, but behind the scenes, they're animals. I want to have an altar call tonight, if you guys would all stand up. There's three different people tonight that I want to talk to. One is if you've never made Jesus Christ your Lord, if you've never surrendered, if you've never died to the illusion for the first time. Tonight, I want you to come forward. Secondly, if you're a Christian, or you call yourself a Christian, and time again you run to the illusion, not to the Lord. The Bible says you're addicted to lust and you're allergic to God. Because every time you stand in that place and you see what the Lord requires of you to change, to repent, to turn, you count it as too hard and you run to your lust. God wants to set you free tonight. And the third thing is if you're a Christian here and you got a lot of illusion in your life, you might not always buy into it, but it's there. I want to pray and believe God to set you free. My wife is gone for 2 weeks. And let me tell you what. There's lots and lots of illusions. I turned on the news. There was something nasty there. I turned on my computer to check my mail. There's something nasty there. The devil's out for me. And he sees that I have this place of desire in my life. And I look and there's an illusion. And I haven't given into it, and I won't give into it by the grace of God. But you guys know what I'm talking about. Day after day after day, there's an illusion set before your eyes. It doesn't have to be that way, because you can die to your desires. You and I can die to our desires, where we turn and we see the illusion and give it not even a second thought. If you're one of those three people tonight, I want you to come forward right now, real quickly. That's you tonight. We're believing God for salvation, we're believing God for freedom, and we're believing God to take our path and make it easier, because we're going to die to who we are, die to ourselves. Let's just worship for a little bit. God, we surrender right now. I want you to lift your hands with me right now in this front. Father, all these who have come forward for one of these things, God, right now I'm loosing your Holy Spirit. God, I'm loosing the blessing of your anointing that your Bible says breaks the yoke of bondage, God. Father, right now I'm praying that you would break the yoke of pornography in some guy's life in Jesus' name. God, I'm asking that you would break the yoke of bitterness in some woman's life in Jesus' name. Right now, Father God, I'm praying that you would loose a young man and you would loose a young woman right now, that they would not be tormented by the illusion, God. Father, we're asking that you would help us to crucify our flesh. God, we find nothing good in our flesh, God. God, we turn to you and we say, God, save us, change us, cleanse us, and make us new right now. In this place, we receive forgiveness. We repent for giving into the illusion, for giving into the lies. If you're a leader in this place, I want you to just come and start praying for people. Just going to worship the Lord. We're going to keep praying. If you have something specific that you've been living in sin in, I want you to confess it to the Lord. Nobody else has to hear you, but I want you to move your lips and I want you to tell the Lord, I've sinned in this way. I'm unclean in this area. Forgive me. Make me clean right now. I bought the illusion. I don't want to live there anymore. And the Lord sets you free. He promises to set you free. I want you to lay hold of that promise right now. Right now.